Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we have a great show. We're meeting with Dr. Robert Needham, president of Franchise Inc. And for almost 30 years, Franchise Inc. has been helping folks develop their business concept into a franchise. And in addition, they match prospective franchise buyers to the right franchisor to achieve their dream of owning their own business. Dr. Needham has also written an industry-endorsed book on solving the puzzle of owning a franchise, and that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. Our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews, back from Washington, D.C. How was the franchise show, my friend?
Yeah, it's great, Marty, as usual. I have a lot of fun at the shows. It's hard work.
It is. I mean, this is for you, this is a long week, I know, because you head to the show on Thursday, Don, and you get back, what is it, Sunday night, and then you have another week of work. So.
Right, because the show exhibit hours Friday through Sunday, going pretty late in the afternoon, and then everybody travels to get home, and then the work week starts.
That's a long week, you know. I mean, you don't really have any time off, you know. So I know this is it's fun for you, though, you know, from what I understand, too. You know, I know you enjoy going to the shows, and you know, I was really upset I couldn't make it to this year, you know, as with the baby being sick and everything, but
yeah, I was going to get on your case about that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you let me go on that one, but I've been there and done that, you know, and, you know, but next year, you know, we'll be there next year. In fact, maybe we'll have a booth there next year, you know, and do some exciting things as far as, like, live interviews and, you know, all that other stuff, you know, so.
That's the goal. We'll eventually do it. Yeah, the show was nice, though. I like seeing clients, and then there's always a bunch of people throughout the year I get to know and become clients, but I've never met yet. So that's what's nice about the show. I get to meet them.
Yeah, it is always interesting meeting them face-to-face, you know, as opposed to, you know, you and I spend a lot of time talking to them on the phone or through email and things like that, or having them as guests on the show. And it's funny, you know, doing all these interviews, Don, you know, I think we've bonded with pretty much everyone we've had on the show, you know, so you feel like you know them and they kind of become like a friend.
Right.
So you can say, you know, so.
And what's nice about the show, too, it's just not all franchise companies. They have a supplier and vendor section, so you get to see friends who you're, you know, marketing your services through.
Right, that's true, yeah. Was there any highlights of the show, Don, that kind of stood out for you during the 3-4 days that you were down there?
Well, it's always interesting seeing certain franchisors really stepping up to, you know, kind of make a statement. And some franchises had some pretty big setups there and had some nice buzz going around there. Because you know, some of the franchises, they lease out a lot of space.
Yes, right.
And
yeah, some of them go all out, don't they, as far as having some really incredible, overwhelming booths, you know, that certainly make an impression on their franchise, you know.
And, of course, a lot of the food franchisors, you know, a bunch of them were handing out food, and there was pizza franchises. And
you said there was a lot of them, right, this year? There was a lot of pizza franchises?
Right.
I guess it was about, was it 4 or 5 of them?
Pizza franchises?
Was it,
no, I think there was up around 13 or so.
Oh, really? Oh, was that many?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Talk about competition, you know. But I guess, you know, again, they're all different. You know, we've since we've been doing this show, we've had two pizza franchises on the show. And both very, I think they were very different concepts. We had Garlic Jim's, you know, who I'd eventually like to have back on the show. And most recently, Marco's Pizza, right?
Right, yeah.
We had Brian on the show. And I think, you met them down there, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, well, that's what's great about the show. And, you know, it's down at the Washington Convention Center. It's right in, I mean, you know, Washington's a beautiful city.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Always seems to be a lot of construction going on there. It's incredible.
Kind of like, you know, it's like it kind of reminds me of Miami, where they're just, like, constantly building, you know. It's just condos and buildings going up and all sorts of things, you know.
I just drive right into the city, stay at the same hotel, park my car, and I'll have to use it for the rest of the weekend because all the restaurants and places, and you walk from the hotel to the convention center. That's what's nice about that show.
Yeah, it's too bad you don't get to go out during the afternoon, you know, and kind of like walk around, you know.
Think about it every year.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
I'd love to leave for 4 or 5 hours and just check out. There's so many great things to see in Washington, D.C.
No,
but
it's true. I know it is. It's just wonderful to walk around. I know for me, you know, many years I've been taking the train down there, you know, and I always enjoyed the walk from the train station to the convention center, you know.
Right.
A lot of times I could have just taken the bus from the train and I just walked, you know, because it's just usually such a beautiful day.
Yeah, and it was a pretty nice weekend overall.
It was
a this show weekend. I believe it set a record for the most amount of first-time exhibitors, first-time franchise companies, not new franchise. It could be a combination of new and established ones, but the most amount first-time exhibiting at this Washington show.
That's fantastic.
There must have been at least, at least 40 or 50 or more.
That's amazing.
First time, and so it had its typical diversification of different industries and
right.
so forth. So
that's great.
You know, traffic could have been a little better. I think some people thought it was a little light with the traffic, and you never know the reasons for that. It could maybe be the overall economic slump.
So true. You know, sometimes when the weather's good, maybe it's a curse. You know what I mean? You know, you say it's nice weather out. You know, maybe instead, you know, you spend the day outdoors or something like that. You know, so who knows, maybe get a better turnout when it's bad weather, you know. So it's hard to say. You know, it would be interesting, I think you and I spoke about this, if they had a show like up in, let's say, the Manhattan area, you know, New York.
Right.
You know, like in a Jacob Javits Center. I'm always curious how well it would do, you know, in that particular location.
Or maybe even Atlantic City.
Sure, absolutely.
Could be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it would be great. I got the book that you sent. You sent me the directory, and I was reading, it was a quote from Steve Greenbaum, who's the chairman of the International Franchise Association. I just wanted to go over a couple things. He says, a new IFA Educational Foundation research project conducted by PricewaterhouseCoopers found that in the United States alone, franchising generates for more than 21 million Americans and contributes a total economic output of more than $2.3 trillion to the nation's economy. So I think that number went up a bit.
Right.
Says today franchising is the business model of choice, says, for more than 75 industries ranging from automobile services, healthcare, to restaurants and weight control. Owning and operating a franchise can be an immensely rewarding experience, but as we say on the show, practically every show, it isn't for everyone. Like any business venture, it requires, and you say this frequently, to your prospects and on the show, requires long hours, hard work, and carefully following the directives as outlined by the franchise system. In other words, following the franchise system, you know. So it's always, you know, if anyone's new to franchising, for people listening today, that's really what you're buying is a system, you know, and it's so important to be able to follow that system and not reinvent the wheel. So that's why they say a lot of times franchising isn't particularly for everyone.
Right.
I just thought that was a great quote from Steve Greenbaum. So, but yeah, no, it sounds like you had a great time down there, you know, and, you know, again, I'm sorry I missed it, but I think we'll be down there next year doing a live show, you know.
There's other shows. It was the second show I've done so far this year. They got a big one out in L.A. the end of the year.
Which you're going to, right?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's great. Well, our last show, Don, was another interesting show. We met with Glenn Franson, and I think you saw Glenn down at the show, right, Massage Heights. And Massage Heights is an exciting new franchise opportunity in an industry that still is in its infancy. And I think you said, was there like four massage franchises down there?
Yeah, there was four or five there. It's really gaining popularity, that type of business. And Glenn was there. They had a nice setup there. Talking to him a little bit, and I was happy to have Glenn on the last show. I think it's real interesting, their type of industry. It's just not getting a massage. It all has to do with the, you know, the health and, you know, therapy aspect of it.
Right. He was fantastic, I thought. You know, I mean, and again, you know, studying, you and I always, you know, kind of do a little research before we have a guest on the show, you know, and this is just the industry in general is just fantastic. It says, millions of Americans are seeking alternative treatments for common disorders and diseases, and massage therapy is becoming one of those alternatives. I think you were mentioning on the show a couple weeks ago, Don, you know, with the increase of people constantly on the go and working long hours and, you know,
right,
stress on the rise, there's a lot of health benefits to getting a massage, you know. So
right,
you're seeing that shift really in our culture. It says, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, between 2004 and 2014, the demand for licensed massage therapists are going to increase 18 to 26%. That's an exponential growth, so that's fantastic. So I like the industry overall. I think, Glenn was fantastic. I mean, we really could have had him on for 2 hours.
He
definitely knows his stuff. He's very passionate about this franchise, you know. And
congratulations to him again. He's the president and CEO of the company.
That's correct, yeah. And that just recently happened. I think it was like 3-4 weeks ago, you know. So,
right.
But really a good guy. I really enjoyed listening to him. I went back and listened to that show, and I said, wow. I said, what a great guest, you know. I mean, he really was very informative. What I like about this franchise as well, Don, is the low inventory. You know, I mean, unlike a lot of other franchises, you know, where you have to carry that high inventory, it's really a low inventory if you think about it, right? I mean,
right. Also, what was interesting is, like what he said, it's overall a positive atmosphere, a nice atmosphere for employees to work in.
Oh, it sounds great, doesn't it, as far as and I said, why don't we do that to our offices, you know what I mean?
Right.
You kind of set it up in this, like, zen atmosphere, you know, where you got the
right.
music playing in the background. And
but the employees know they're helping people, and the customers are happy. You know, obviously, they're mm-hmm. feeling better. It's just an overall, positive atmosphere.
It is a positive atmosphere. I was impressed with their training program as well. You know, I thought they had a great training program. And these guys have been, you know, doing this for a long time now. And, you know, they started off as like it was a family operation, you know. So,
yeah.
Really, I mean, this is their baby. So, you know, they want to see it work. And, you know, so I'd like to have him, you know, back on the show, you know, in another 6 months or so, you know, and just watch the growth of this particular franchise, because I really think they're going to explode.
Yeah, definitely.
So what do you got going on today, Don, and over the next, I think it's the next month?
Yeah, we have some nice stuff lined up. Like you said, today we're meeting with Dr. Robert Needham, president of Franchise, Inc., and they've been around for 30 years.
That's fantastic.
He also wrote a book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise, so we're excited to have him on and hear about his experience. And
it's always fun to have authors on the show, you know.
Right.
You know, and there's been a lot of different, you know, books on franchising. This one has been industry endorsed. You know, there's been a lot of buzz about this particular book, you know, so I want to talk to Dr. Needham about that as well.
We've had 6 or 7 authors on, I believe.
Has it been? Yeah, that's right. It's
Warren Gresham, Michael Gerber, several others.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I had some, some testimonials.
Joe Matthews.
Yeah, Joe Matthews. Actually, it's so funny you said Joe Matthews. Listen to this. It says, what others are saying about Dr. Needham's book, finding the right franchise and winning in your own business is a puzzle. It's solvable, but there are many pieces. The book is like the cover on the puzzle box, which shows what the pictures is supposed to look like when you're done. Quoted by Joe Matthews. Can you imagine that? So that is, and to get an endorsement from Joe Matthews is pretty serious stuff. You know, he also wrote that fantastic book on franchising, Street Smart Franchising.
Right.
So getting a plug from Joe, that says a lot, you know. So, congratulations to Dr. Needham on that. You know, it's this is one of the books on my hit list, you know, to read over the next month or so.
Good. April 24th, Marty, we're meeting with franchise attorney. We've had her on before, Nancy Lenard.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Nancy definitely knows her stuff, you know, so it's always great to have her on the show.
Yeah, she's going to discuss what a franchisee should look for when reviewing the lease of the franchise location.
Mm-hmm. So important, isn't it? We spoke on many shows, about the importance of location. The challenges as well, Donna, you know this
right.
from your business, finding a top location.
She's also going to talk about, you know, some of the changes with the disclosure. It's not the UFOC anymore. It's the FDD.
Yeah,
so
I
give
get
us
used
some...
to saying that, FDD. I keep saying that, FDD.
I like it better. It's one less letter.
I guess so. One less letter to remember, you know. It's took a while to get UFOC down, you know. And, but there have been some. And these changes, by the way, to the FDD, formerly UFOC, are positive changes, by the way, it seems like. It seems like there's more disclosure. I don't know if you got that feel.
Right.
Nancy can talk about that better than I could.
Yeah, so that's coming up just next week. On May 1st, a meeting with John Cipolla, of the Franchise Opportunity Verlo Mattress Factory Stores.
Yeah, I'm excited about that because that's a different kind of concept we haven't had on the
right.
show.
It was a family business originated in 1958. Saw John down at the show, too, so I know he's happy about coming on, so we look forward to that.
That's
in a couple of weeks. On May 15th, Marty, we're meeting with a franchise we're both familiar with, Rita's Franchise Opportunity. It's only been around since 84, but they've had such growth, and they're the nation's largest Italian ice chain with more than 400 stores, and I guess they plan on having upwards of 1,500 stores by 2010.
Right, that's the goal.
They feature ices, cones, shakes, and other cool stuff. Rita's Italian ices are made fresh daily and available in more than 30 different flavors. They're all over New Jersey. My mom loves them, and you know, excited also about having Rita's. They're a very successful franchise.
Oh, they really are. I mean, Connie is very excited about that as well. She said, do you think they'll send any free samples to the office? I was like, oh, how?
And on May 15th, very good chance of being a hot day. So right after that interview, we might just go rushing out the door to find the local one.
Well, I tell you, when she Connie was pregnant, we were there once, twice a week going to Rita's. We have one about 3 miles from our home here in PA. And I tell you, every time we go to that place, Don, it's packed. I mean,
right.
It's just what a business they have there, you know. And you don't need a big location either, you know, for
right.
Rita's, you know. So it's just interesting. So I'm looking forward to that. That should be a great show.
So I have some interesting stuff here, Marty, that I go over. This is something I found in this business journal.
Which is a great source of information, yeah. I actually subscribe to that.
It's heading study, franchising sector expands by 18% out of Washington to the Indus Newswire. The franchising sector of the economy expanded by over 18% between 2001 and 2005, adding more than 140,000 new businesses and 1.2 million new jobs to the nation's economy, according to a new economic impact study released last month by the International Franchise Association. Direct economic output of franchises grew by more than 40% to $880 billion in 2005, the study also found.
Wow.
Franchising now provides more jobs than many other sectors of the economy, including the durable goods manufacturing and financial activity sector, says Matthew Shea, president and CEO of the IFA. It is clear that franchising is a critical engine of the economic growth in the United States, powering local communities across the country.
Absolutely.
So pretty strong numbers here. The study prepared by PricewaterhouseCoopers on behalf of the IFA Educational Foundation shows that from, again, between 2001 and 2005, franchise businesses have outpaced the economy as a whole in terms of the rate of growth of jobs, payroll, and output. The rate of growth in employment was 3 times higher for franchise businesses than for the economy as a whole.
That's something.
It goes on in sheer numbers, the jobs and payrolls of franchise businesses were greatest in California, Texas, Florida, in Illinois in 2005, said Shea.
Yeah, I think we've seen that number before, yeah.
Franchising had the greatest impact on jobs and payroll in Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, and Mississippi, and accounted for the largest share of state output in Nevada, Arizona, and Florida.
Interesting.
Payrolls among franchise businesses also grew at a faster pace than other businesses. Franchise payrolls expanded nearly 22% to $279 billion between 2001 and 2005.
Something. Well, it just goes to, you know, prove, you know, what we've been saying as far as this growth going on, Don, since you and I have been doing this.
Right.
I mean, it's just been incredible, hasn't it?
Definitely. Lastly, it says here, according to the study, franchise businesses operate in every state, the District of Columbia, and in every congressional district in the country. There are more than 900,000 franchise businesses in the country operating in many lines of business, including automotive, commercial, residential services, quick service, full-service restaurants, retail, lodging, real estate. I mean, that list goes on. It's just incredible. So I guess the numbers keep increasing, and the industry keeps just, you know, going up.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. It's a great article.
Yeah, here's something also, Marty, from Brand Week, and it's titled Category Wars, Big Chicken Chains Expand Their Range, March 31st, written by Eric Newman. KFC, Popeyes, and others battle back against the burger giants. Uh-oh, big war going on here. It's getting hot in the chicken coop.
Great, isn't it?
Feeling the pressure from McDonald's and Burger King, which have successfully added poultry options to their menus, many of the leading fast food chicken chains have responded with new ads and products. KFC is leading the charge. Last week, it announced it is testing Kentucky Grilled Chicken in 6 cities with a national debut expected next year. Late last month, it scrapped a four-year-old ad campaign in favor of a new one themed Life Tastes Better with KFC. The chain also launched a chicken wrap to compete with McDonald's successful snack wrap. KFC sales were down 1.2% last year per Technomic Chicago. KFC share, over $5 billion, represents about a third of the chicken category, which has been stagnant for the past 3 years. It says here, KFC's menu is evolving to meet the changing needs of customers who are looking for a wide variety of great-tasting food, said KFC rep Rick Maynard. We're confident offering grilled chicken will help bring in new customers who are looking for non-fried options. You know, and that kind of affects me a little bit because I love Kentucky Fried Chicken.
So do I. They're but, out of this but world, it's, aren't they?
I'm sorry?
They're out of this world. I love
it. Oh, yeah, it's great. But, yeah, I mean, and I didn't know they didn't have a grilled chicken option, but that's mostly what I go for. I have to kind of take it easy, you know, my system a little bit. I can't be having fried foods all the time.
There you go. Well, I don't know if you remember when we had it's funny because I listened to it the other day. The great George Native, you know, founder of Boston Chicken, when we had him on the show.
Right.
And he got involved in this franchise called, was it No Fat? And then they changed it to, was it U-Food Grill?
Right, U-Food Grill, yeah.
Right. They have an interesting concept with their French fries where they, they air fry the French fries? It's a really cool concept. It's something like a new technology.
Right.
But it's just amazing what they're able to do today, you know, and the taste really isn't that much different, apparently. You know?
Right.
So
much healthier. And a side
much
note,
healthier, sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Just saw him featured in Food Business Review. I guess they're taking on a developer for their company. Seems like they're growing. He says they're excited to bring an experienced developer to open 38 of our restaurants in the Northwest region. So it's funny you mentioned George Native because I just had a little something to talk to about him.
That's what's called a segue, right? We're getting good at that.
And we even practice that, right.
There you go.
According to the company, which is U-Food Restaurant Group, owned by George Native, the franchisee has entered into a five-and-a-half-year development agreement to open 38 U-Food grills in Colorado, Utah, Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. So I'm not surprised by this. George has been successful in franchising for years. He's, you know, he's one of the Hall of Famers, so I'm sure as time goes on we'll be reading many more of those type of things.
Yeah,
but getting back to this article, it says here... It says KFC's menu is evolving to meet the changing needs of customers who are looking for a wide variety of great-tasting foods.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're, you know, the grilled chicken is they believe is going to help bring in new customers who are looking for the non-fried options. A TV campaign running in two of the test markets shows construction workers adding and grill to the KFC logo. KFC is owned by Yum Brands, of course, out of Kentucky.
Right, which we've had on the show.
Right.
Who we've had on the show.
If you look back over the last 5 years, you see so much more growth in other sectors like breakfast, and they're stuck with a narrow product offering. This is him talking about KFC. Now number two, Marty, is Chick-fil-A as far as you know, the chicken category.
Interesting.
They've been battling back by pushing its breakfast menu. The company just wrapped a campaign in which its spelling-challenged cow characters donned pajamas and carried placards with messages including chicken for breakfast, ever dawn on you, and add chicken to your morning routine. they have some funny stuff going on here.
That is funny.
It just seems like all these chains, if they're getting competition with one of their food categories, they just kind of, you know, go into something else more or less. They all seem to be doing breakfast and all have to kind of theme up something different to what they're doing. Like, how often does McDonald's and Burger King kind of have to think of a new ad campaign to do something to their burger?
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, it's interesting. It always seems like Burger King is following or trying to duplicate what McDonald's does. You know, they kind of wait for McDonald's to do it, and then they jump on that bandwagon. But yeah, it's, you know, I mean, the competition is really, I think it's a great thing, Don, because what it does is it just makes you work harder. You know, I mean, we've seen a lot of these interesting concepts come out over the last year. Subway. Just recently added, was it pizza, I think, to their menu?
Well, I think Dunkin' Donuts, too.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Somebody was telling me about that. But
Well, hopefully this is all better for the consumer, just more variety.
Right.
More convenience because they're offering different things. You know, you can have anything from breakfast up to dinner. But Chick-fil-A in 2007, their sales grew 16%. So all the stuff seems to help. And, you know, number three in this chicken category is Popeyes.
Oh, really?
And they have a new ad campaign called Bonafide. So I guess one of their taglines is change your chicken, get bonafide. So
that's interesting, huh? That's pretty creative.
That was pretty interesting article how these companies always have to be evolving, so to speak, and
sure,
staying on top of their game.
Well, recently we spoke about that in Wendy's. Recently they went back to the whole breakfast thing.
Right.
I think they have breakfast now because I think their sales have been down. I think some of the Wendy's restaurants have been struggling, you know, so they
right.
went back to the whole breakfast thing because when they started it way back when, I don't think it worked out too well.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the competition is really, it's a great thing. You know, it makes you work harder. And
right.
The person that benefits really is the consumer, you know, so.
Right. And you know, hopefully, the price is maintained. They don't bump the prices up on it.
Well, that's the whole thing, too, you know. And that's the great thing about competition, too, is you know, it sometimes keeps the price down, you know. So,
right.
So that's a great thing. Well, I think it's a great article.
Yeah. Here's something else, Marty, called Focus on Franchising. This is through the Wall Street Journal on WSJ.com.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. franchisors are making major global inroads. I thought this was very interesting, especially with just having the franchise show with the international component. This is by Lawrence Bivens. A weakened dollar combined with growing income levels and friendlier regulatory environments in developing countries are making it an ideal time to promote a U.S. export that many foreign buyers are clamoring for, master franchisee licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Given the record strength of the euro against the dollar, European entrepreneurs interested in securing the rights to a franchise American business concepts are enjoying an enticing 25% savings compared with just a few months ago. It's bargain basement time for European companies buying U.S. franchise licenses. Pretty interesting, huh, with the dollar falling.
That is very interesting. Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Bill Edwards, president of Edwards Global Services, a business services firm in Irvine, California, that helps companies navigate overseas expansion opportunities, is who gave that quote. Currency valuations aren't producing such lucrative discounts everywhere, but fast-growing middle-class populations in Asia, Latin America, and the Middle East, coming just as U.S. consumers tighten their belts, are giving franchise executives ample evidence that that exciting expansion opportunities lie overseas.
It
says China remains a destination of great interest to franchise marketers. The country is already home to about 2,000 U.S.-based franchises.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. 2,000 are based in China. It's incredible.
The growth going on in China is just it's incredible what's happening there, you know. But, yeah, absolutely.
And that's according to the U.S. Department of Commerce on that figure. And that number set to grow dramatically in the wake of relaxed restrictions on franchise startups announced by the Chinese government last year. That made a huge difference, Mr. Edwards says. He sees a broader array of franchise concepts entering China now, transportation, hospitality, real estate, and educational services among them, joining the large number of U.S. food franchises that accounted for the bulk of early entrants. That shows a maturing of the Chinese economy, he says. Not all franchise executives are bashing their China ventures in Shanghai and Beijing. Officials at Mr. Handyman, the home maintenance concept that is a unit of Ann Arbor, Michigan-based Service Brands International, who we're familiar with,
right,
chose the central Chinese city of Wuhan, if I'm pronouncing that right, as the site of its first overseas presence, though considered a second-tier city. Wuhan, nonetheless, has a population that exceeds 9 million.
That's incredible.
And he compares that city to Chicago, says Todd Recknagel, president of Mr. Handyman. It has a Midwestern culture and feel.
It's amazing if you think about it. I mean, you think about the opportunity in China, you know, and the entrepreneur in me is saying, wow, we should definitely have our website in Chinese, you know,
right,
and also do the show in Chinese, you know, just, you know, get two co-hosts who can actually speak Chinese,
right,
and just do it in that language. I mean, the opportunity there is just incredible. And the great thing about our show, Don, is we actually reach that country. You know, we have listeners. We had a subscriber to our newsletter the other day from Vietnam, you know, so it's just
right.
It's really the whole world.
Yeah, know? I mean, that's great. It's not just national, international, like
it's
you're saying.
It's international, you know, so it really is just an incredible thing that we're doing. But
And this company, Service Brands, they're also reaching out to other countries. They're also looking at Chile and Malaysia, Turkey,
really?
And Ireland. So
that's incredible.
They're exploring strategic partnerships with businesses in those countries in the form of master franchisee agreements. And, of course, that's a mechanism whereby a firm purchases rights to build the brand in its country by recruiting and supporting local franchisees. So
that's
this article goes on. We'll have to go over it next time. It's just
right.
A really interesting article about the franchising industry, of course, throughout the world.
Absolutely. Well, today, Don, as you were saying earlier, we have a great show. We're meeting with Dr. Robert Needham, and Dr. Needham is the president of Franchise Inc. And for almost 30 years, Franchise Inc.'s principals have been helping folks develop their business concept into a franchise. In addition, they match prospective franchise buyers to the right franchise or business concept to achieve their dream of owning a business. Dr. Needham has also written an industry-endorsed book, as we just read by Joe Matthews, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise. Hi, Dr. Needham. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good today, Doctor. Dr. Needham, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, that you wanted to say hi to Dr. Needham.
Yeah, Dr. Needham. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. You know, it's incredible that you have that name, Franchise Inc. I guess you got that early on when you started in the industry.
We did. We were really fortunate. We made the decision back in the early 90s to purchase that domain name. Actually, my business associate, Jim Bell, really made that decision, to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
And so we knew that that name would be a wonderful name someday in the future.
Right.
When we decided to franchise ourselves.
Absolutely. Great planning, yeah.
It sure is, yeah. Dr. Newman, we always like to start off asking our guests, where are you calling from today?
I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. Our offices are in Pelham, which is a little suburb of Birmingham.
Ah, beautiful. And what were you doing before joining Franchise Inc.?
Well, for the last number of years, of course, I've been a franchise and business consultant. But before that, you know, I had an interesting career. I was in government. I worked with the space program, launching space shuttles for a living.
I saw that. Yeah, that was very impressive.
So it always goes, you know, the standard joke, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to do this, but unfortunately, I was.
There you go.
How many times have you got to laugh at that one?
Exactly.
Probably every time.
That's
yeah, tell us a little bit about Franchise Inc., you know, the history of the organization, please.
Well, Franchise Inc. is really a culmination of several visions over time. Myself, I operated as a consultant under a company named Spectrum Advanced Markets since 93 to about 2006. And another associate of mine, Jim Bell, operated under Business Development Centers. And Jim had been a franchisor two times before even starting Business Development Centers. So, unfortunately, I have enough gray hair to say that we've been in the industry a long time. But from the history of Jim working mostly in the area of development when it comes to document development and registration with the states, and myself doing strategic business plans for franchisors, we've coached and worked with about 250 small companies over these years. And starting about 6 or 7 years ago, it became more and more obvious that the franchisors were looking to outsource their sales. So we did that for some of our clients privately, if you will, as an outsourced consultant. And then in 2005, we really began to study, you know, where was this industry going as it related to this whole concept of the franchise broker and or the consultant. And so in 2006, in July 2006, we formed Franchise Inc. LLC. It's kind of a funny story about that. The name Franchise Incorporated was taken in Alabama, so we had to make it an LLC. And which is, you know, just an odd thing that happens. But we formed Franchise Inc. In July 2006, and we committed to developing a core of elite franchise consultants that have to go through a year of training with us.
Wow.
to be what we call fully certified or become what we refer to as a senior consultant. And we're just committed to trying to bring a high standard of quality to that part of the business.
Are these consultants, Dr. Needham, are they consultants to the franchisor themselves or mainly helping people looking to invest in a franchise concept?
Initially, while we provide both services, we do the full consulting package to the franchisor in nine major areas. Initially, when they come on with us, they're trained to do franchise sales to begin with, and then what we call our franchise readiness assessment second. So in their first 6 or 7 months in the business, they're focused primarily on franchise sales.
Okay.
Fantastic. And you've been doing this a while, Dr. Needham. Has there been any major changes that you've seen over the last, I guess you could say, 30 years in franchising? We've been doing the show now for about 2 years, and we've seen a lot of interesting changes. But in 30 years, it's, you must have tons of stories, I guess.
Well, you know, it's sort of like the computer business. It, you know, it had a, you know, a very specific beginning, and then with innovation, new ideas have come to the marketplace. So we've seen a general trend away from brick and mortar for the average buyer. The brick and mortar buyer in franchising is becoming more and more sophisticated because of the real estate and strategic planning that it takes to select locations and know that you're going to be in a, you know, a market for at least 10 years that because you can't really move those locations around very well.
Right.
That's becoming a real specialty, I think, within franchising, and we're finding more area development type scenarios moving in that direction.
Right.
I'm very excited about the changes I see in professional franchising, or what some people refer to as home-based or mobile franchising. And I like where I see the industry headed here because it's creating true entrepreneurship again. It's taking what was maybe the old classical sales rep position, the manufacturer sales rep position, and it's opening up the profitability and allowing individuals to become independent business owners again. I'm a real strong advocate for independent business ownership in America, and, of course, franchising, I believe, is absolutely the best way to go.
And what's interesting about that is more people have a chance to get involved with that type of franchise because of lower investment size involved. When you're normally talking service or home-based, I guess, Dr. Needham, that's another added advantage is the lower cost to start up that type of business.
Without question, you know, in modern business today, you know, it used to be when my mother and father were working, people worked somewhere for 30 years and got a gold watch, you know. Today, for someone to stay in a position for more than 4 or 5 years is a long time at a company. So as a result, a lot of people are starting to look back to getting some security in owning their own business, but they don't have the hundreds of thousands of dollars that it might take to get started. Where these professional franchises start, you know, is less than $20,000, and typically all are under $100,000 all in.
Wow, that's interesting.
Right. So talk a little bit more about the different services provided by Franchise Inc. It seems like there's consulting services. It seems like it's really a full service type of company you have.
We do. We still continue to do the areas of coaching and development of the franchise. So we can take a franchise or a person who has a business concept that they think they might want to regionally, nationally, or even internationally expand their business concept, and we can start with them and take them through and develop each critical area of the business, including helping them get their documents done with our outsourced attorneys. Then we put together the manuals and everything else, help them develop the training programs and including their PR and really everything else associated with launching their business. And we can do that fairly affordable. And so that's one area of our business, and we have about 4 or 5 consultants who really focus in that area. Then,
now, just one quick question there. Is it already a franchise system that you're helping to grow, or you help that company become a franchise, a franchisor?
Both. We actually can start from scratch and help them become a franchisor, or ultimately, if they're someone who maybe became a franchisor, started out in the non-registration states, really just wanted to grow a few extra businesses around them, and now they've decided to expand regionally or whatever, they come to us and we help them develop that, what we would call the second come out strategy. And so we help develop them. We really specialize in companies with less than 100 operating units,
yeah.
Which, by the way, is the majority of all franchisors.
Right. Right.
And so we do that work, and we find that very exciting. And we're actually paid by several franchisors just to be their management coach so that they can call and ask questions and get advice and really kind of think through their expansion. Maybe they're adding a new product line or they're thinking about adding a new service. Then we can do some market studies for them and help them in that area. Of course, okay. What's becoming a major part of our business since we franchised is the bringing on of these professional consultants and taking on what we call our preferred list of clients. Now, there, you know, in franchise sales today, there's really two types of sales teams. There's the what I would refer to as the referral broker, who is looking to find the prospect, do a pre-interview with them, and then hand them off to the franchisor, where the franchisor then sales department takes over and really completes the transaction.
Right.
And then there's organizations like ours, which really start off by coaching the client, getting them prepared to be a business owner, then taking them to a select list of franchisors, qualifying them, helping them negotiate their agreements, go through the entire site selection process if that's the case, and really be with them all the way till they leave to go for training. So we spend an average of 16 hours with a customer of ours before they actually purchase a franchise.
Wow, that's intense.
16 hours on the phone.
Right, right. That's amazing.
Just a quick question. It always interests me, and it seems like it's going on more and more now, that a lot of franchise companies are outsourcing their sales department. And so what are the major advantages to doing that, to have Franchise Inc. handle the sales and have a sales department?
It's interesting that you asked that question. You know, and this is not a slam on the franchisors, what I'm about to say. I have learned over my years in the business this is a truth, that franchisors are excellent operators, mm-hmm. meaning that whatever their business concept is, they're very good at operating that concept.
Right.
What they aren't very good at is explaining the financial risk management that it takes to get a person to make maybe the largest or second largest financial decision that they're going to make.
Right.
And they have to... And so they're busy running the business, you know,
right.
And they don't have time to spend really learning to become a professional risk manager, which is really the job we do. We say we're in the sort versus convince business. We have to help people sort through a multitude of issues to get themselves emotionally prepared to take the risk of entering into a business of their own. And so that's a professional skill that really takes time to hone and learn. And to do it well, you have to be a part psychologist, part business manager. You know, you have to understand finance and many other motivating factors. So, you know, it's interesting, of the depending upon whose numbers you trust, you know, there's somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 franchisors in America today, the majority of which have less than 50 franchise units.
Right. True.
And I think the reason is they don't know how to sell the franchise. So it's better to hire a professional consultant to come in who knows how to qualify the prospect and to coach them and to prepare them mentally to become their franchisee, and then let them do the best thing they know how to do, which is operate their business.
And then it probably saves money on top of that, so it's a win-win.
It really does, because not only do they have the cost of the acquisition of the customer, but then they're having to maintain those staff members who really aren't supporting the franchise operation. They're only acquiring new franchisees, and they become a pretty heavy overhead, especially if they're only selling, you know, 10 or 12 franchises, which, by the way, is about the average that a franchise salesman sells a year, is about 12.
Yeah.
Now, our team, it does quite a bit better than that. We have guys that sell 150 franchises a year. But that's because we've spent so much time preparing them properly to do that.
Interesting. Another question we'd like to ask someone like yourself, Dr. Needham, is what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise?
Well, you know, first of all, it's interesting. I believe they have to first find out who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, are they prepared to work with employees? If not, then they don't need to be buying a business that's going to have a lot of employees. They need to be, in a business that's maybe just them or maybe one or two others.
Right.
Once they do that, they really need to decide what it is they want this business to do. You know, we have a lot of people call us and say, you know, my wife's a great cook. I want to run a restaurant.
Right.
You know, but there's a big gap between being a great cook and being a restaurateur.
Right.
And so what we do is we try to find out what they really, you know, the old saying, I believe, you know, I don't know who actually gets credit for originally quoting, it's certainly not me, but the old saying that people don't buy drills because they want drills, they buy drills because they want holes.
That's right, yeah.
What we try to do is find out what is it that they really want, and the franchise is just the vehicle to get them to their dream. So often when we're talking with them, we find out that it's freedom or financial independence, which, you know, is really freedom still, and they really want to be able to control their own destiny or some of those kind of things. So then we start looking at the business, and we start explaining the business from that direction, and it's really independent of what the business does, because there is no perfect business, as you know.
Right.
Every business has something that's not great about it, and every business has something that's super fantastic about it, and we try to help them understand those various things.
That's interesting. We had a couple guests a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Needham, from Fish Window Cleaning. There was two young gentlemen. They worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car for many years, and they were very frustrated. They were working 50, 60 hours a week, I think it was, Don, they were mentioning.
Right.
And they were surprised at first. They ended up in the window cleaning business. They said in a million years they never imagined buying that kind of franchise. But it just matched what they were looking to do. You know, they just wanted flexible hours where they can get home early and spend weekends with their family and things like that. You know?
Right. They did a lot of due diligence and
right.
a lot of questions and points of what they wanted in a franchise system, and that met most or maybe all of what they were looking for.
Right, and they're very happy now, you know. So, but, yeah, it was just interesting. They never pictured it in a million years.
One of our top female consultants was a regional vice president for Enterprise before she came with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I must say that they have an outstanding training program, and I've met a number of people that have left Enterprise to go be their own business person, and, you know, Enterprise does a wonderful job of preparing these young folks. They take them on early from college and
that's what they said,
really
yeah.
teach them a business well, and then they send them out to start their own businesses.
Absolutely. That's something. Why did you write the book Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise, Dr. Needham?
You know, this is not to take away from any of the books that are on the market today,
right.
but the authors that wrote those books, they had to balance themselves between trying to speak to the franchisor and speak to the consumer both.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect why they did that. For me, I felt there needed to be a book that was solely written for the consumer.
Right.
That took them through this self-assessment phase that we talk about, helped them really get to know who they are, that instructed them properly about what type of documents they were going to face when they got in this industry. And really then even outline for them the key questions, because to me, one of the key ingredients of purchasing a franchise is what we call verification. And they need to know how to properly interview franchisees and get the information that they need. They need to know how to properly get the franchisor to describe the business model to them. And I just wanted to write a book that would do that, and I wanted to make it simple and easy to understand and not, you know, a lot of big words. And from what I understand from the folks that have reviewed the book and the thousands now that have read it, that's apparently what we've accomplished there.
That's fantastic. And you've had some strong endorsements I saw on the book. You know,
we're really blessed with that. And we currently are running national television, offering the book to prospective buyers for free. I've gotten to the place where I feel like I need to give this book to the community. So if you'd like to have your listeners contact you and you send me the referrals or whatever, we'd be happy to have your listeners get a copy of our book free as an e-book if you'd like.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, and Marty, you're right, looking at different people in the industry really giving a testimonial, really saying great things about the book, Dr. Needham. It just seems like it's a real complete, practical book, and at the same time talks about just the wonders of owning a franchise and, you know, the dream of it all and everything.
Absolutely. And then the one other thing I did I thought was kind of cool for a book, was the last chapter was actually just a summary of the whole book in about 10 pages. So the person that just doesn't have the time to read the whole 190 pages, they could just read those 4 or 5 pages.
Oh, that's great.
And they'd at least know what to do, you know?
Right.
Oh, that's great.
It seems like it's almost a must-read. And we'll certainly, Marty, we talked about this before the show, we'll have to add it to our website.
Yeah, we're going to add it to our websites, Dr. Needham, as well. Yeah, Francis.
We would love to send your listeners a copy of the book.
That's great. I really appreciate that.
You know, so I guess there's always misconceptions sometimes about, you know, people owning a franchise. They just think it's a big-name franchise. They're going to put their money down. They're automatically going to be successful. And you know, Marty and I are always talking about franchising's not for everybody, and it's hard work. You have to work just as hard as investing in a franchise as any other business. It's just that your chance of success is higher. And I guess that's something you really keyed in on the book, Dr. Needham?
It is, Don. I think that, you know, the old saying is people don't plan to fail. They just simply fail to plan. The majority of businesses fail mostly because of lack of capital, because they didn't think about all the necessary things that they we're going to need. What's beautiful about franchising is the franchisor has already developed those lessons learned. They know the capital that's going to be required. They tell you that in advance. So they take some of that mystery out. And I think that's one of the main reasons. That and just having a good business system that everybody clones and follows right. is why franchising, I believe, is a superior choice to starting your own business every time.
Right.
I agree.
You talked about before what advice for someone looking to buy a franchise, but what specifically as far as the characteristics do you feel in a person on how they'll become successful in owning a franchise? Are there specific characteristics that are pretty common themed on people who make it as a franchise owner?
Without question, you know, we teach our guys to kind of draw a line, and I refer to this in the book, and on the left side of the line is the classic employee, and on the far right side of the line is the, what we maybe say, the all-out entrepreneur. The franchisee is really somebody in between. They have the discipline to work, the work ethic that comes with what you might call the employee, but they have the dream and vision of the entrepreneur. But probably the single most important aspect is, once they determine that they're really a leader and that they want to do this, is that they're coachable. I see so many people want to come into franchising and then try to tell the franchisor how to do their business. And that's not what franchising is really about. It's about taking people who truly want to run a business but who are willing to follow a proven plan. And so coachability, I think, is maybe one of the major key aspects of becoming a franchisee.
That's interesting.
And we've always heard, Marty, the common word of then the franchisee has to have the passion.
Sure, absolutely.
And that all goes to your service, Dr. Needham, to see and try to form, you know, call it puzzle pieces, whatever, that person's passion for something to a franchise system. I guess that's the whole
trick. Some people jokingly say that we're eHarmony of franchising. You know?
That's clever.
You know, we try to find the right match of both personalities and promise, and I think that that gives us a very good formula for delivering, you know, really qualified prospects to the franchisor that they know have been properly vetted and are very interested in their concept when they approve them and appoint them to be a franchisee.
Right. It seems like really what your company does is just it provides services to provide the least amount of failure as possible, whether to the franchisor, because they're coming to you for help, there's any problems, or to the franchisee by doing all that due diligence, much lower chance that franchisee is not only going to choose the wrong system, but obviously not be successful with it. So I think what your company does, all these services, is just great, just great for the franchise industry.
Well, I appreciate that, and I truly think the fact that since we offer our service free to the consumer, because the franchisor pays us to do the work that we do, I think that it gives the consumer a real opportunity. Why try to struggle and do it on your own when you can have a coach for free?
Saves a lot of time.
It saves a lot of time.
Right.
And I think they get a good education. You know, some people, a couple of consultants in the industry said, Robert, you wrote the book almost good enough that a person wouldn't need you. You know, I'm okay with that.
Right.
I'm okay with that. I would rather them have read the book and never talked to somebody than to just struck out on their own and never had any help at all. And, you know, because we can't possibly help everybody. It's just not possible. So we thought the book does a great job of doing that.
Right.
That's great.
You know, if I could, I have one thought that I'd like maybe your listeners to think about. We have developed a concept which we call multi-concept operating company. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a new way of thinking about franchising. And if you don't mind, I'd share that idea with you.
No, sure. I'd like to hear it.
The idea is that, for example, a traditional franchise, potentially with brick and mortar, you know, you might spend, let's say, $250,000 opening that business. Since we're not going to talk about specifically any kind of business because we can't do that. But, you know, it would be not unreasonable to expect to earn maybe $100,000 the first year, so that maybe it would take 2 to 3 years to recover your investment. That's a fairly familiar theme in franchising.
Right, I'd agree, yeah.
With the traditionally franchisors, because they only have one product to sell, they teach the consumer to think only vertically, if you will. In other words, the idea of being a multi-unit owner or possibly an area developer or even maybe a master franchisee. The idea of MCOC says, look, if I'm going to spend the $250,000 anyway, why not buy five distinct businesses that maybe cost $50,000 that are more flexible, more mobile, that where I might earn $50,000 from them because service-based businesses have a higher net income because they don't have as much overhead.
Right.
And so in that sense, I could, but I find them in common markets. For example, I might buy a toner cartridge company and an overnight express company and maybe a business supply or printing company.
Right.
And they all service the same customer base, but they approach it from three different businesses so that I spend the same $250 to buy them, but I do that maybe over a 1 to 3 year strategy. And each one of them earns the $50. So at the end, I'm making $250 for my $250 instead of $100 for my $250. You get not only the diversification that comes with that, but they get to become what many middle managers today who are facing reduction in force, layoff, whatever fancy word you want to give it, they've got, you know, excellent 401ks, IRAs with the, you know, the entrepreneurial stock option plan, the ERSOP, the ability to utilize retirement funds to manage that, and with either that or the severance pay they're getting from their former employer, they can start owning their life instead of renting their life out to someone. They're an executive. They're already proven.
Right.
And they become the CEO of their own multiple operating unit, and they hire professional managers to run each one of those five units. I tell you, we've got about 150 of those clients so far since we introduced this about a year ago, and it's just working phenomenally.
And you know, that was going to be my question. I think you answered it. In that situation, are you spreading somebody too thin with too many services? But I guess if you have an assistant manager or manager helping to run,
right, exactly. The concept here is that you take and invest in the life of somebody who's not yet ready to run their own business, but they're still hungry to make a little bit more, and you kind of make them your partner. You may actually share equity with them, or you may not. But in time, they become a natural purchaser of that franchise if you choose to sell it.
I'm a big proponent of diversity in business, you know, just being diversified. I guess this strategy allows for someone to grow their business quicker because you have several different, you know, services.
Serving the same customer base.
Right.
So if you're B2B, you might keep all your businesses in B2B. If you're B2C, you might do all of them in B2C.
Right.
And some people, you know, they don't buy five. They maybe buy three, but then they buy multiple units of a couple.
Right.
Whichever way that works out, it just gives them diversity. It makes their business a little more recession-proof.
Exactly, yeah.
It diversifies risks, and it allows them to sell off parts of their investment without having to sell the entire investment.
Yeah, this is interesting. I never really heard this.
We've produced a white paper on that we've shared with many of the franchisors. I would also be happy if you'd like, if you want me to maybe send that to you, if you want to put that out, we'd be glad to share that white paper with you as well. It really just explores what this means to be a multi-concept owner.
That's interesting.
Yeah, we'd be definitely interested
in
getting that. Yeah.
Very good.
That's fantastic. We have about 30 seconds, Dr. Needham. What are Franchise Inc.'s plans for the future?
Well, we are a niche boutique-type company, so we're probably going to add another 15 or 20 consultants this year, maybe add another 5 or 6 franchisors, which would put us somewhere near 50 that we represent. And we're planning to continue to grow. The main thing we see as an industry issue is lead development. And so we're investing a lot of research money into innovative new lead development techniques for the entire industry.
Right.
Not only for ourselves, but certainly since we're a boutique organization, we could not possibly use all the leads we could generate. So we see ourselves as a service bureau to the industry, and so we're developing those techniques, and we're going to make some major announcements this summer on some things that we think are going to change what is right now, I think, the broken lead system depending only on the Internet.
That's fantastic. What's the best way for someone to get more information on your services, Dr. Needham?
Certainly our website is franchiseinc.com.
Okay.
And if you don't mind, you want me to give my toll-free number as well?
Sure.
They could call us toll-free at 800-961-0420.
Fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Dr. Needham. You've been an incredible guest, and I think Don and I would both like to have you back in several months. I think there's some more to talk about.
And we'll be reading the book. Looks like it's been a great success. You've continued with that, too.
Well, I appreciate that, Marty and Don, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the near future. Maybe we could even do some joint calls with some of our clients.
Sounds fantastic.
The franchisor clients. I'd love to do that with you.
Sounds
Thanks,
great.
Dr. Needham. You have a great day today, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Dr. Needham.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, very interesting person.
Great concept. Very indifferent, too, you know.
Yeah, they're providing some, you know, some of the services we've spoken and had other guests on the show, but he's, you know, they're, you know, with a little different angle with a few things, like
right,
what he was talking about last with the multi-brand ownership.
It's a very interesting concept, yeah. I'd love to have him back on the show. I still have some more questions for him, but we're running out of time, you know.
Time goes quick, yeah.
It sure does. But for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com. You can call our toll-free number at 888-722-2785. And I guess I'll be seeing you next week for another show, Don. We have Nancy Lenard next week, don't we?
Look forward to that, Marty. Good show. Have a nice day.
Thanks, Don. You have a great day. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.